Well, are you going to be surprised if I say open to 1 John? Nobody's surprised. Okay. We'll open up to 1 John chapter 5. I don't know about you, but for me, he has been doing exactly what he said. He sure been getting the gray out of my gospel. I'll tell you what, things that I sort of knew and kind of knew, but man, it is just narrowing it and a laser focus. I'm never been more excited about the future, where we're going. I believe we can really have revival now. He's going to revive us to this gospel. See, hallelujah. So 1 John chapter 5, the only review I'm going to do is I'm just going to read the three verses that we covered the last time, the main three, starting in verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So he's talking about the testimony of the Father and how the Father has given witness to us. In the last lesson, we looked at when the Father spoke at the baptism of Jesus. He spoke again, "This is my Son." On the Mount of Transfiguration, we talked about the witness of the Word, the witness of the Holy Spirit. And we finished up really with the witness of the centurion. You remember that? This guy's a Gentile. He's a Roman. He's not born again for sure. I mean, he's not raised in the law, doesn't know much, you know, but he's watching this crucifixion. Him and him and the soldiers that are with him. And I'll read that verse and then we'll get into tonight's lesson. Matthew 27:54, if you want to look it up. You talk about a witness, even the Gentile, even this Roman says. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, they actually watched the whole thing. When they saw the earthquake and those things that were done. We hadn't even talked about the darkness that covered the earth for a season. We haven't talked about the earthquake, really, and the rocks being rent and the veils torn in two from the top to the bottom. I mean, there is so much. The centurion was there. He says, when they were all done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. I mean, even he's given his witness now. This is the Son of God. Amen? All right, now picking it up in 1 John 5:9, it says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. And what he means, now go back through that previous lesson, all of those things, there's three that bear record in heaven, there's three that bear record in earth, and on and on, all of the witnesses. See, it's just, if we receive the witness of men, see, We daily make decisions based on the witness of men. We trust the word of our neighbors, our friends, our relatives, business associates, and so forth. I mean, my dad was so raised up that way that your word is your bond. He didn't even want to have contracts when he first started his own business. He just, you know, a handshake, that'll do it. You say and I say and it's done. He found out all men are not like that. And we had to come up with contracts. You know, but you do normally. Yes, sir. Now my job, I can't just ignore things. Y'all remember Rocky, a minister that trained here at the prayer center for quite a few years and wound up in Bolivia. I think now he's in another country. Well, Rocky Malloy. I remember his name now. When he first moved to Bolivia, he says, you just don't know how different, how wonderful things are in America. He says, in Bolivia, the corruption is complete. You can't receive your mail without a bribe to the postman. You get in a business contract, and whatever you even signed, it doesn't matter at all. There's going to be money under the table, and it's going to change as you work. If you're trying to do like a building contract or any kind of thing, he said the corruption is complete, thorough, top to bottom. Thank God it's not like that yet, anyway, in America. Thank God we can receive the witness of men to a large degree still. But it says if we receive the witness of men, see, without accepting that witness as being true of men, it'd be really hard to even function in society. I'm glad it's not like Bolivia here, okay? Even though often what men say is not true. Now, it might not be true because they deliberately lie. It might not be true because they were mistaken. Could be an innocent mistake. But even knowing that to be the case, still every day we rely on the witness of men, don't we? You know? Now, how much more should we rely on the witness of God? That's what John is saying here. This God who cannot lie, he's never mistaken about anything. He is love and would never tell you anything false. God is never deceived, never wrong about anything. And that's why we are instructed to not live. What did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Talk about living by a witness, living by a testimony, living by the truth. See, now in the preceding lessons, we studied the witness of God as revealed in Scripture. We studied the witness of how Jesus came by water and by blood. We saw the witness of God when he spoke from heaven at the baptism of Jesus and on the Mount of Transfiguration. Got to remember, John was there at both of those events. Remember? John is being the faithful witness some 50 years later. He was an eyewitness. He was on the mount. He heard the voice. He saw the cloud. He heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear you him. Man. Do you remember also John was the only apostle who was at the crucifixion? The rest of them were hiding for their lives. He saw all of the same events as that Roman centurion. And after seeing the witness of God by all the events, even that Roman centurion had to say, truly, this was the Son of God. But now John is telling us what he heard Jesus say more than 50 years ago. And I'm referring to John 8 now, verses 12 through 18. See, when Jesus, John 8 is just, well, my favorite chapter changes every week, but John 8 is just phenomenal. There's so much in it. And he starts that one off by saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, this is John 8, verse 12, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, and thy record is not true. In other words, You're just saying stuff. You're just saying stuff about yourself. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. Now get this. Here it is. For I am not alone. See, they're looking in the flesh. We count one. In the flesh, we see one. We see Jesus. We see a man. You're just you, one. But he says, I'm not alone. See, I don't care where you go on this earth, and the devil comes and he says, I got you surrounded. You go, I am not alone. You may think you got me. You can't even... I remember Gehazi. Remember the servant Gehazi? And here comes all of this. Was it the Assyrians? Thousands and tens of thousands of them. And Gehazi's worried. It's him and the prophet. 2 against 10,000. Finally, the prophet said, Lord, open his eyes where he can see. There be more with us than be with them. The enemy thinks he's got you surrounded. In the spirit, you got him surrounded. Anyway. Hallelujah. It's so hard not to bring in all these other things. For I am not alone, get this, but I and the Father that sent me. Now it's also written in your law. He's going to turn it right back on them, see. It's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me, he beareth witness of me. Now, when it says record, my record is true, that's the Greek word G3141 in the Strong's. It's M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A, and it simply means evidence given, a record, a report, a testimony, a witness, okay? And what Jesus is referring to, just so you'll have it for your notes later, is Deuteronomy 19:15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. By, you know, so we shorten that and just say by two or three witnesses, everything must be established. Okay. But the Pharisees are accusing Jesus of only testifying about himself because they're judging by the flesh. They only see one person there, and they say, well, your record's not true. You're just one. They're saying, we can't accept your testimony as true. What testimony? He just got through telling them, I am the light of life. Isn't that what he told them? I am the light of the world. They are rejecting that testimony because they think that the man, all they see is Jesus of Nazareth. They think he's alone. They're judging by what they see. They only see Jesus, not the Father. But Jesus says, I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me, my record is true because just as the law requires, there are two of us. I am one witness. My Father is the second witness. Now, continuing down a little farther, next verse in John chapter 8. Well, then they said unto him, I mean, here's Jesus. So they're just judging by the flesh. Now, get the picture. They're looking, all they see is Jesus. And he's going, I'm not here by myself. I and the Father are bearing witness. And they're looking. Where is your Father? Can you see it? Where is thy Father? We don't see no Father. Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, well, you neither know me. See, they think they know who he is. Not only do they not know the Father, they don't even know who he is. He says, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. I almost laugh out loud as I was meditating on this. The Pharisees are looking, they're going, they're trying to understand. Your Father's with you? Where? We don't see your Father with you. He told him, you're just judging after the flesh. Boy, now, if we go over to what I love to go line by line through John chapter 8, but wouldn't be here till January. Come on down to John 10. John 10, verses 37 through 38. This is where it really talks about one of the ways that the Father testifies of him. He says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He told him other places, it's the Father in me. He's doing the works. You could say it this way. He's the one bearing witness. He's the one providing the testimony. I am one, and the Father in me who's doing the works, he's the other one doing the testifying. Is that good stuff or what? So Jesus is telling them that the Father is within him who's doing the works. Each time that happens, the Father is validating that Jesus is the light of the world just as he said. Now the Apostle John in this letter, in this epistle, he is just stacking evidence on top of evidence on top of evidence in this whole segment that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior of the world. There is the testimony of the water and the blood and the Father and the Word and the Holy Spirit and the works which the Father did through Jesus. And even I'll remind you again, even the Roman centurion, even he had to, after seeing what all happened, even he had to say, this is the Son of God. Okay? Now, 1 John 5:10, back to 1 John. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Oh. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. What record? This record that John has been laying out, verse by verse by verse, all of the things that we've been talking about over these last couple of lessons. All of this is the record of God. And today we would I'd probably hold up my Bible and say, this is the record of God. Amen. So now the Apostle John, he's moving from all of those external evidences, such as the water, the blood, the voice from heaven, the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, the miracles worked by the Father. All of those are like external things. But now John is moving to the internal evidence that every true believer has. If you're born again, you have the witness in yourself. That's really hard to share with somebody who's not born again, you know. They think you're nuts. They think you're crazy. What's wrong with you? And how did Paul say that? If I'm beside myself, that's okay. You got that witness, though. And down through history, the devil has done everything he can trying to get people. And sometimes he's successful, but most of the time not. Burn them at the stake. If you ever really want to, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and read what happened to these people, you're waiting in line for your turn. You're watching Christians in front of you be burned alive at the stake because they will not deny that witness. They will not deny the Christ. They will not. You got ample opportunity to recant. Say, no, I'm next. Yeah, my goodness. But see, if you're born again, you have that witness in yourself. And the rifle, Dave would say, the devil can't beat it out of you with rifle butts. I remember those first weeks in 1980 after I bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ in the living room of our home. We'd been going to Michael Muccio's Bible studies for a while, and I wasn't even sure if the Lord would take me back, but y'all have heard me talk about it many times. He did. Can you tell? But I remember that first few weeks. You talk about the witness in yourself. The best way I describe it nowadays is like a new sheriff came into town. And I'm the town. A new witness. A new sheriff. And I mean preaching from within. We weren't even going to church yet. We hadn't found one yet. We'd been trying different ones for years, but we weren't going. Where's all this preaching coming from? And it's coming from the inside. There's a witness. There's a witness in me that wasn't there before. You talk about a witness, that new man within me, Christ in me. He started telling me, that has to go, this has to go over here, that has to go. And I'm going, what? I had to stop doing this, and I had to start doing that. And it was all coming from the inside. See, no preacher from the outside was telling me to do it. It was from the inside. That new man has the law of God written in his mind and heart. And he goes to work immediately to start working righteousness from the inside out, where it can appear as fruit on your limbs. We talked about fruit in an earlier lesson. Now, remember what it means to believe. See, look at 1 John 5:10 again. He that believeth on the Son of God. Remember the earlier lesson? The devils knew who Jesus was. The devil says, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Now, believing on him does not mean I know who you are, because devils had that knowledge, and devils are not saved. Isn't that right? I don't know a whole lot, but I know devils are not saved. I'm just very confident about that. So remember, when he says believe, you got to understand the Greek word that's translated believe means trust in, not just have knowledge of, trust in, cling to, and rely on. See, this is the attitude you have to have with that inner witness. The inner witness is the first level of the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. That new, what we call the new nature, the inner witness, do you know that's really Christ in you? That is how he has come to become your Lord, the first level of leadership. That's how he begins work in righteousness. That's how he did it with me that first week. This has to go, that has to go. What? You know? And we remind you again, a renewed mind is not necessarily a mind full of knowledge. A renewed mind is a mind that yields to that witness. A mind that yields to the lordship of Christ in you. The mature Christian so treasures that inner witness. He would sacrifice anything rather than losing. You know, if you were lost in the wilderness and the only thing you had was a compass, that was your only hope to get out of there. That compass always points north. In the same way, that inner witness, that new man, it always points towards righteousness. I mean, if you was lost in, you'd part with anything. You'd lose your shirt, your shoes, but you're not going to lose that compass. Man, that's the way that inner witness is. You know, you're not going to take my inner witness now. All right. Let's look at the next part of the verse. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness. Am I preaching to the right people? Y'all got that witness in you, right? He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. And it's not just the word, it is the word, but it's all these other things that John has talked about. Okay? See, John has given many evidences in this little short letter of so many ways that the Father has testified and borne witness that Jesus is his Son, the Christ, Messiah, sent by the Father to be the Savior of the world. And after all of these evidences, if you choose not to believe, understand this. Understand this. If you've heard the gospel and you're choosing not to believe it, you are calling God a liar to his face. It's God who has been the witness in all these things. This is the record that God gave of his Son. Over these many years, one of the more common objections I have heard from unbelievers is, oh, I believe that Jesus was a good man. He did many good things. But come on, I just don't believe that he was the Son of God. And I don't believe he was the Savior of the world. So what they're doing, they're trying to placate you and get you to shut up by saying, oh, I believe Jesus was a good man. But he's just not the Savior, you know. And I always tell him, he didn't leave you that option. Anyone that says, unless you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. Now, he is either who he says he is, or that man is stark, raving, crazy. Come on, he did not leave you the option that he is a good man, but not who he says he is. No. He is either who he says he is, or he's a criminal, should be locked up, or he's crazy, should be in an insane asylum. Jesus is either who he says he was, or he was a bold-faced liar. Number two, Jesus is who he says he is, or he was crazy and belonged in an asylum. Number three, Jesus is who he says he is, or God the Father is a liar. Because the Father spoke from heaven twice, bearing witness, this is my beloved Son. So, Mr. Unbeliever, every time you say your nice little platitude, oh, Jesus was a good man, but he just wasn't the Son of God, what you're really doing is calling Jesus and God the Father liars. Just know that. That's how serious what you're doing. You will stand before him one day. This very one that you're calling a liar. Is that what your defense is going to be? I didn't believe you. I didn't believe your word. I didn't believe the Apostle John. I didn't believe any of these witnesses. I just chose not to believe you. Is that going to be your defense? You know, I tell everybody, I said, you know, there are no such thing as unbelievers beyond the grave. Have you ever thought about that? Remember the rich man and Lazarus? He's one of the few that we have a picture of beyond the grave. He was sure a believer then. Wasn't he a believer? And he's asking, please send Lazarus, send somebody back to my brother so they don't come to this place of torment where I am. He's a believer then, but it's too late. Don't wait till then. Repent of your sin of calling God a liar. Believe the gospel. Repent and be saved. Little platitudes. You don't want to stand before him one day calling him a liar. Okay. Ready for the next verse, 1 John 5:11. We've got to do 11 and 12 together. Oh, okay. Feet. Come on. And this is the record that God hath. I can't hardly even say it. It's not just the record that Jesus is his son. Through all of that, God has given another record. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He that hath the son hath life. He that hath not the son of God hath not life. Now think about this. John's in this whole epistle has been building toward this truth. Now, you remember the wonder how this epistle started? How John started off, how they first beheld Jesus? And that's life that was from the Father and was manifested unto them. You can almost feel how they marveled as they beheld this man who had life in him. Like no other man, on earth had life like this one. He lived like no other man. He spoke like no other man. And he did what no other man had ever done. You can just... When I read those first three verses in 1 John, our hands have handled, we have heard, we have seen of this word of life that was with the Father and was with us. It's like childlike wonder. We've never beheld life like this. And through this epistle, he's been building to this point, wonder of wonders, glory of glory, miracle of miracles, that life that was manifested. He has now put it in us. That's the same life. And we have it in us now. That's the gospel. Oh, my feet are barely here. I'm about to take off. I can leave that in. I lose words. This life that we've never seen life like this. Nobody'd ever seen life like we saw in him. But this life, God had a plan. This is the record. That life that was so awesome in him, God has made a way for that life now to be in us. And it's the same life. Because if you have the Son, you have that same life. God, this was God's purpose all along. All the way back to Genesis, I'm talking. His purpose from the beginning was to populate the earth with children of God. Wasn't that right? That had righteousness in them, that had the life of God in them. Did not he breathe the breath of life from the air? It wasn't oxygen. God doesn't breathe. He wasn't breathing air. He breathed life into that first man, Adam. And when you get born again, he does it again. He breathes life into you. We're going to find out who we are. And that's really what this... See, people are going to... If they're legally minded, they're going to start thinking, oh, legalism, I got to keep all the commandments. I got to... Blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. God's saying, I have made you my child. Walk as the child of God that I have made you. Just walk as who you... Believe this gospel. Believe what I told you. And walk as the son of God, I've really made you. And women, I'm talking to you too. If I got to be the bride, you got to be a son. Hallelujah. Now in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. If I can look at these hairy legs and be the bride of Christ, come on. Come on. This is the gospel. This is God's purpose. And we're only in a phase of it right now because you're still wearing this flesh. This is not his ultimate plan. Just a minute. Oh, thank you. That's not your ultimate plan. We're going to get a glorified body like his. This is why Christ is called the firstborn of many brethren. We covered that pretty good in the He that came by water and by blood. He is the door. He made a way. He sailed. I like how Dave says it. He's the captain of our salvation. He sailed into spiritual death with us. He said, get in the boat with me. But he was the first one through the door to go from death to life. And he says, now follow me. And as we follow him, he's the firstborn. There was a secondborn, a thirdborn. B's number's in there somewhere. David's number's in there somewhere. Sue's number I know's in there somewhere. And I'm in there somewhere too. Glory to God. I'm one of the many brethren. And I'll just tell you again, John's already said it. As he is, so are we in this world. You beginning to see what this letter is about? Walk like that. You really are like that. You've got the same life in you that he had, that they were so odd, awesome, odd to see that life. And the gospel is you've got it in you now. I'm finding out what living by faith really is. Living by faith. Instead of looking at me, looking at Gary and my flesh and my stumblings and my failings and that, let that define who I am. I've got to let this word define who I am. I got to believe the witness of God. I got to believe his record over everything I see. I am who he says I am. I can do what he says I can do. And I can walk like he says I can walk. Glory to God. That's good preaching. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for teaching us to assimilate and pray in the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I got to read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening, and that's life-giving spirit. Jesus, the last Adam, is the quickening, life-giving spirit. See, Adam and Eve, after the fall, they could produce offspring. But they could only produce offspring of the same kind. So they were all born spiritually dead. That's why I may mention it here again. Satan thought he had man locked up in a box with God out, because every human born of woman was born spiritually dead. And like Dave says, you cannot get a savior out of a spiritually dead gene pool. And we've covered all this in detail in previous lessons. But when you receive the Son as your Savior and Lord, he literally, literally quickens your spirit from death to life. Adam could not do that. Adam could produce more spiritually dead children, but he could only produce what he was. But Jesus is producing what he is. He is life. He is the light of the world. He is life. And when you receive him, he quickens your spirit to life with that same life he has. Glory to God. Remember all the earlier lessons. He paid for your sin with his own blood. He took away your sin, became the door through which you could die as a son of the first Adam. Walk through that door and be resurrected as a child of God so you can walk in newness of life. It is the same eternal life that is in the firstborn. It is the same eternal life that John and the apostles beheld with awesome wonder. And now that same eternal life is in all who have the Son. Glory to God. John, and he's just really teaching what Jesus taught. I'm going to quote to you several places. John 5, verses 24 and 25. These are all red letters. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. You were dead. Somebody preached the gospel to you, and in that you heard, come and follow me. You heard, come. And when you received Jesus as your Savior, you heard the voice of God, even though you were dead in your spirit, and you got quickened from death to life. John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus talking to Mary. I believe it was Mary. Mary or Martha. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I believe that. I like to say it this way. When I died in Christ, now my body, I'm going to shed this old thing one of these days. But the real me, when I died in Christ, that is all the dying I'm ever going to do. This, I'm already living forever. And this part here on earth is the shortest part of my eternity. But I'm never going to, my spirit man, nope. Y'all might as well get to like me. You're going to be stuck with me for all eternity. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And in John 17, verses 2 and 3, Jesus talking to the Father, in prayer, talking to the Father, as thou hast given him power over all flesh to do what? That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Glory. To what purpose did the Father give us this eternal life? That we might know him as our Father. That we might know Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. To save us from our sins by quickening us from spiritual death to spiritual life. To change our nature from being sinners to being the righteous sons of God. To empower us with that same eternal life that is in Jesus the Son. That life empowers us to walk above sin and to always say no to our flesh. No to the world and no to the devil. Bronk, I was listening to Bronk this week. He was really preaching a different message on another passage, but he was talking about when Peter says he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He said a big part of that suffering is the big no. Every time you say, flesh wants to do something, no, and your flesh suffers. And it makes you suffer sometimes. If you're going through withdrawals, it goes, I know how it was with me. I'd say, you know, I had quit smoking. Let's just pick on that one. I can pick other things. Let's say, I'd quit smoking. And my flesh says, give me another one. And I'd say, no. And my flesh goes, y'all ever seen that terrorist thing? I kill you. I kill you. I am a terrifying terrorist and I kill you. That's what, I'm making a joke, but it was, man, there was suffering involved. See, sometimes there was another, yeah, I hadn't thought of this one, but there was another time. This one wasn't exactly suffering in the flesh that way. I had been called full-time into ministry. It hadn't been in there very long, and a man called me that I hadn't talked to in almost 20 years and remembered me from a job we did for him and offered me a job working for the Corps of Engineers in Oklahoma. And if I would have, I only had like just until my birthday to make that decision, which it was getting close, because if I would accept that job, I had just enough time based on my age, I could retire in 20 years and receive full government pension. But God had said, go full time. My flesh is going, take it, take it, take it, take it. Because money was staying away in great abundance, wasn't it, baby? We'd set the table, bless the nothing, bless the plates, worship God. So, somehow, some way, sometimes somebody come with a fried chicken dinner. I said, God sent you from heaven. You know, and we wasn't telling nobody. Nobody knew. One way or another, he'd get us food. You can tell, right? Anyway. Suffering in the flesh. But see, that, I'm going to read it again. That life empowers us to walk above sin and to always say no to our flesh. It doesn't, he didn't say the flesh wouldn't retaliate. It's suffering sometimes. But who's the boss here? I like how Sue says it. Flesh, you're not the boss of me. And kick and scream. See, every parent knows you cannot give in to the kicking and the tantrums and the screaming of the kids when you're disciplining them. You know, I love kids. I don't like to ever discipline them, but bless God, if you love them, you're going to have to. Well, you're going to have to discipline that flesh. I'll tell you a good assignment for you sometime. Just go through Proverbs, find everything that it says about a child, and apply that to your flesh. Spare not, for it's much crying. Spare not. Get the switch out again. Tell it no. Ow! Yeah! I make your life miserable. Too bad. You don't get another cigarette. I'm not taking that job. I'm going to obey God. And he'll provide too. You hide and watch. And he has. All these years. You do know that was about 1995. It's 2018 while I'm preaching here. It's been a spell. He's still providing. Thank God. Okay. Hallelujah. You have to, Bronx says, part of that suffering is the eternal capital. No! And the flesh makes you suffer and you still go, no! Being saved from sin, we are saved from hell. God saved us from sin and empowered us to walk righteously in this present world. Even though we are still wearing fallen flesh and living in a fallen world, but so did he. That's why he's the perfect prototype for us. Righteous in his spirit, spirit alive to God, wearing fallen flesh, just like the flesh you're wearing, living in a fallen world. Adam wasn't living in no fallen world before he fell. But Jesus did, and still, 30 years without sin before he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me the new nature is not enough. And it's that righteousness. That's that eternal life. That is actually the life that John is talking about. The same life we saw in him, he's now giving it to us. And this life is in his Son. Mm-hmm. Jesus had that same eternal life in him. He was wearing fallen flesh like us. He was faced with every temptation that we're temptated with. Yet without sin. Glory to God. Well, how did he do it? Oh, Brother Gary, that was the power of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit till he was 30 years old. Well, how did he walk 30 years above sin? By the power of that eternal life that was on the inside of him. And that's how you do it, by the power of that eternal life that's on the inside of you. Now, I'm preaching to Gary, too. My flesh, you think it's quit? Well, it's quit a lot of stuff. But my flesh still. I was watching something I thought was an innocent TV program. Just this one really is pretty innocent. We, you know. And the very first episode this year, though, I mean, always before, it's about Navy and ships and guns and stuff. It's pretty, this one's pretty tame. The opening this year, there was a scene of a woman on regular TV. I'm not talking some weird cable something. There was a scene, I mean, it wasn't porn, but it was close. And let me just say, it showed way too much. I had trouble sleeping that night. Just trying. I'm 71. I ain't dead. Red blood still flows through these veins. I'm a male to my toes, man. And I had trouble going to sleep that night. I was trying to get that image out of my head. I was just trying to get that image out. And I said, God, no, I'm not. No, you know, no, no, no. And I had trouble. So the next morning when I got up, I deleted that off our thing. We're not going to be recording that no more. I'm not going to watch that no more. No, flesh. No, not the boss of me. Okay. But Jesus walked free from sin for 30 years by the power of that eternal life within him before he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why John is being so meticulous. If you have the Son, notice how he's wording that. He's not saying the Holy Spirit. Now, God is one, God the Father, but he reveals himself to us in three parts: God the Father, God the Son, and Holy Ghost. And he's not saying if you have the Holy Ghost, you have that eternal life. He says if you have the Son, you have that eternal life. Well, if you've got that eternal life and it's the same life he had in him, honey, you can walk free. You can walk sin free like he did. And that's the purpose of God, that we walk that way. Not in a legal sense. It's just who we are. We've got to start rising up and understand who we are and who the flesh isn't. The flesh is not you. I love how Alan says, your struggle is not you. That flesh, you're at war with that. That's not you. That's, Nathan calls it the meat sack. That's pretty good. Anyway. Now, Jesus is the mark. Thank God he was perfect. He did it perfectly. Even Paul said he didn't do it perfectly. Paul says, Paul says, I don't count myself to have arrived. And I really admire Paul. But he says, I don't count myself as having fully arrived at that mark. I mean, Jesus, he is the mark. He is the standard. He is the bar. That's where it's set. Okay? So here's the way Paul wrote it in Philippians 3, verses 12 and 14. He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. There is a striving. There is a pressing. There is something for you to do. You got to say no. You got to stand up. You got to resist the flesh. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You resist that flesh long enough, like any little child, it'll eventually obey. It won't like it. It may sulk. It may give you trouble till it does. But you've got to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, you already have the Son. You've already won. You've already got the prize. You go around the merry-go-round and you reach and you get the prize. You've already got the prize. You've already got that eternal life in you. But we're pressing towards the mark. What's on the inside, we've got to get it manifested on the outside. And that's that pressing. And here we go. I see Dave's vision that he told us about revival all those years ago. Dave says, I saw the whole earth and it was like darkness was everywhere. But there was just like this dark band like a dark band around the earth. And it was just black and dark. And he says, as I watched every now and then, somebody would get their hand up through that, they'd make it all the way through, get their hand through that band, and it would begin to glow like light. And boy, when they come back to earth and they'd lay their hands on the sick, they'd recover, they'd cast out devils. See, another person might get his head up through there, you know, and it is that mind, he'd get the mind of Christ, the revelation knowledge, and boy, it'd begin to glow. And when he come back to earth, he could teach the very oracles of God. And he said, every now and then, maybe once every 100 years, maybe one or two in a generation, somebody would get their whole body through there. And that whole person would begin to glow. And when they come back to earth, they are the revivalists of history. And just Dave's watching all this, you know, like I know what that's like now, watching those spiritual movies that the Holy Spirit plays in your mind. I know what that is. Dave's watching it, and his natural mind goes, that band is the problem. He's going, that band, that's got to be the devil. And the Holy Ghost said, no, that's not the devil. That band is your flesh. Have you ever heard anything about mortifying the flesh? Mortifying the flesh. It's through, yes, sir. Now we're going to turn to this one. Romans 8. Your Bible should just fall open unless you bought a new one since Dave taught it. For years, my Bible, I could just take it, Romans 8. I had to buy a new one since then because all of creation fell out. You know, I was preaching up in Washington and Genesis 1 and 2 fell out. And I went, well, I can't have a Bible that starts with the fall. I mean, I had to buy another Bible. See now, oh man, Romans 8. How does a teacher start in the middle anyway? Let's start in verse 12, I guess. Well, no, see, verse 11 is talking about the new birth. He's talking about this eternal life. This is how it got in you. If the spirit of him, it's of him, that life is of him, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead. Now he's talking about, he's not talking about his body. He's talking about when Jesus was born from the dead. He is the first born from the dead. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. And that should be a little S. All of you good students of the born again trail. The Holy Spirit, the first mention of him in Romans 8 is in verse 16. This is talking about the Spirit, the new nature, the very life of Christ on the inside of you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, Christian, you shall die. But here it is. Oh, and this word Spirit's got to be a little S. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And this is the first level of your leadership. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and that should be a little S, it's talking about Christ in you, they are the sons of God. It, sons there means a mature son, growing up, not an infant. Okay? So, verse 13. If you through the Spirit, this is exactly how Jesus did it. It is through that Spirit, through that eternal life that was implanted in the womb of Mary when he was first conceived. He was, do y'all know the word seed, by the way? Not many children. The word seed, you know what it is in Greek? It's sperma. I mean, God is real. He's telling us like it is. It is, the seed is sperma. I mean, it is life from God. And what he's saying here, the way Jesus did it, he wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. He wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost for 30 years. And he was tempted in all points, just like we are, yet without sin. Glory to God. And John is going, that same life, that life that we saw that no other man ever had, who he walked like no other man, he talked like no other man, he did things no other man ever did, and we knew it was because of that life that was with the Father but was manifested to us, and we touched him, and we walked with him, and we heard him, and we sat and we listened to him. We were willing to just live our whole lives just to be around him, but God had something greater in mind than that. That life that was in him, God has put that same life in us. And that's why John is going, walk as the Son of God you are. You can walk above sin the same way Jesus walked above sin. Paul is writing it this way. It's through that very life that you mortify the deeds of the body. You do it the same way Jesus did it. Romans 2. Romans chapter 2. I like to call this now, this my term for this is the mechanism of righteousness. This is literally how it works. I love it. Verse 13, Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, and he's talking about born again Gentiles, which have not the law, they were never taught the law, but now they do by nature the things contained in the law. These, having not the law, and he means they were never taught it externally, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law, and this is what God promised to every believer, I will write my law in your heart and in your mind, which show the work of the law, notice, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now God put that in you. That right there is exactly how you mortify the flesh. That right there is exactly how you walk in righteousness. I want to say it another way. That right there is how Jesus did it. He did it exactly that way, walking by the light of life that was on the inside of him. And now we come full circle back around to John 8. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Why? They shall have the light of life. That is that eternal life which is in the Son. We have the Son. We have that eternal life. Now let us also, like Paul, press toward the mark. Never lower. I'll tell you what, this church, we are never going to lower the bar. You hear me? We're going to put it right where Jesus put it. We're going to press towards that mark. We're never going to lower the standard. We're going to keep it right where he put it. I want to remind you, let's go back to 1 John just for a minute. I'm really about done. You can only absorb so much of this at a time, and I'm still not trying to drag it out. I could drag it out. You just don't know what all I'm leaving out of here. But I'm trying to include whatever he wants included, because we do need to get through this thing. But I don't believe we're going to be the same. I believe every person that goes through these, I'm getting reports from all over. Most people are, what's happening. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know if I'd get a lot of flack, and there may be that later, but mostly what I'm getting now are people repenting. They realize they've been way too loose in their walk. The walk's been way too wide, allowing too much stuff. It's happening even with me, just like that program. I said, I'm not putting up with that no more. I'm not putting up with that. They're going to try and slip something in like that on me. I don't trust you. You're off. For good. I'm not watching that no more. It's narrowing our walk. Okay. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 6. I used to think I knew what this meant. Now I know what it means. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself. Boy, if you underline, you ought to put you. Just write you. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Well, there's your mark right there. There's the mark. I don't know anybody except Dave. I always tease him. He always gives me a fist when I do it. You know, like, I'll beat you if you say that again. I always say, I don't know anyone perfect but Jesus and Dave. And he goes, he did it again last time I did it. But that's the mark. And the scary thing is, it's really possible. It's really possible. John's not exaggerating. All that old stuff. Nobody could walk like Jesus. Well, just rip that page out of your Bible. Yeah, we can. That's the whole point. We can walk as he walked. As, hit with me again. As he is, so are we in this world. I say that I abide in him. And I say, by faith, I'll walk as he walked. He's given me this eternal life. I have the Son. And I have that life. And he's empowered me to walk above sin. Flesh, you've had it. You are not the boss of me. I give you the big no. No. I will not let you sin anymore. You can whine and scream and cry. But no. Hallelujah. That's how Jesus did it. Now, don't tell me he didn't. He did too. He walked by those thoughts. This is okay. That's not okay. I doubt he was tempted. You know, the temptation is not to sin because he was tempted. You know? And if you start getting tempted, your conscience, they're the bumper rails. Here's the path of life, the path of righteousness, and your conscience is like the bumper rails on both sides. Well, maybe we ought to, boom. Okay, nope, come back to the center. Well, maybe this would probably be okay. Boom, nope, no, nope. They're just like the bumper rails. Those thoughts, they either accuse, no, or they excuse, this is okay. That's how we do it. Learn to live that way. And again, it's not legalism. The whole point of the letter. No, it's not legalism. It's not rule keeping. It's learning to walk as the Son of God that you really are. That's the message of the letter. It's really who you are. Nathan, bless his little darling heart. You know, he'd come and he just hammers. I bet he got tired of it too. He'd come back the next week. Same message. Almost, you could almost play the one from the week before. You're a good tree. Remember, you're a good tree. You're a good tree. And I thank God he just kept coming and coming. And finally, I went, I think I might be a good tree. But it did help unlock this book for me. Are y'all excited about this? Man, you just don't know. There's a lot of pages, but it's enough for one night.